I'm going to call the meeting to order at 6:03. And do we have a flag somewhere?
Behind Mark's head. Behind Mark's head.
Oh, Mark's picture. Okay. Did everybody see Mark's picture with the flag behind his head?
We have to.
Yes.
Ignore the head.
Or just
look around it. Look around it.
No, we're not pledging allegiance to Mark. We're pledging allegiance to the flag behind Mark. All right, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call. Do I have Ray Bowers? Do I have Jimmy Butler? Are you there, Jim? I thought he was. Jim Butler, are you there? I see you. Jim.
He's there.
Well, he's got to talk. Jim.
Jim.
Chris Carloni, you're here, right?
Yes.
Brian Capolo, did he come in? No. But Rob Forte, you're here, right?
I'm here.
How about Michael Gray? You were the first one in. Mike, you're here, right?
I'm here.
Okay. Carlo?
Here.
Rose?
Here.
Also known as Happy. Sam? No Sam Palastro yet, and I'm here. Okay, we have seven present. Okay, there's no changes to the agenda because there's nothing on the agenda and we couldn't change it if we wanted to. I am going to, what is going on here? Oh, you're putting stuff up there. Is there anyone here from the public who wishes to speak? Anyone from the public? Last call, anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Okay, why am I having an echo?
Because somebody has their, they dialed in by phone and they're on their computer at the same time. So it's that's what happens when the two are connected or close. So
let me see.
That person should mute themselves.
Who's on their phone? Muted. They all look muted. All right. I'm not going to talk that much anyway. Okay, I'm going to close the public portion. This is kind of a big... just a big blob tonight, so I'm going to let Keith start off. Are you going to want Betsy to go first?
Yes, ma'am. Just to frame it for tonight, I don't know whose screen that is. Tonight, we're going to start with the grand list and to put some scope and perspective to grand list year over year to see the net change. That is what we then use for calculation of revenue from taxes. And what we tend to do in the past, we do expenditures, we do revenues, we will address philosophically what percent collection we want to use of the taxes once we apply the mill rate to this grand list number. Betsy's here tonight to walk you through the real estate, personal property, and motor vehicle. She will give you an overview year over year, and then she will get into, you know, maybe some thoughts on what she sees happening going forward. Also tonight, we took some of the major drivers, and it's the top 11 departments. We spiked them out. I'll walk you through each of them tonight because some of them need some explanation, some of the line items. The library's on with us tonight because they're one of the drivers. Their budget has run greater increases percent and dollar-wise, so they're here tonight to talk about that. And we'll walk you through the other departments. The ultimate goal is next Tuesday. Judy will then take the summary report I gave you guys. We'll put it into Excel. We'll walk through next Tuesday, bonded indebtedness. Tonight I'll touch on capital, and then we will start to get into any of the other departments people want to see. But tonight are the major drivers. Not saying you can't bring these departments in. This is just to give you some framework as to what's behind the budget. We have some final numbers we have to enter tomorrow and the next day on the senior center. There were some issues they're having with the current budget that we're neutralizing it so the analysis is fair. And then also we will be entering the final workers' comp and number we got on the tail end of last week, beginning of this week. So tonight we'll go through the real estate plan list. We'll move into the drivers, and we can talk about what other departments we want to see going forward. Thank you, ma'am. Betsy, it's all yours.
Good evening. I am Betsy Quist. I'm the assessor in the city of Derby, if you don't know who I am. Up on the screen right now is a summary page that I present to the mayor and finance director here, giving them a rundown of changes from last year to this year in the grand list.
Could you hang on 1 second, Betsy?
Sure.
Whoever's out there, could you please mute your phone and or computer? We're getting a big echo here. Very distracting. Anybody out there's not muted? Jim, could be you. It's Jim. You're gonna get kicked out, Jim. Jim's the only one I can see that's not muted. I can't seem to get his attention. Of course, Betsy's not because she's talking. And Mark wouldn't be. Okay, I don't know what the deal is with Jim. Okay, I'm sorry, Betsy, go ahead. I guess that's all we can do.
That's okay. So I basically, you see the numbers in front of you. I don't have to read them to you. Everybody can see them. We were very lucky to have a good, healthy increase, majorly because of Big Y. We had not a big increase last year because we had to take Walmart away, so we were very happy to have Big Y back. We got them back in our real estate as well as over almost $2 million of personal property. So that was a nice addition to Derby. In terms of what I see happening with the COVID, Keith and I talked about it a little bit. Unfortunately, there's not a lot open, so we don't know what's going to open. I would bear on the side of conservative, just because without that development in downtown starting yet, you know, everybody's still, you know, dealing with unemployment and COVID. So, I haven't had a lot of chatter. People haven't called me with a lot of information saying, you know, that they're in dire straits, but that might go more through the tax office and through Keith. But, you know, we'll keep our eyes on it and hopefully, you know, we'll have some growth. There's more, the city sold off some properties. So we're getting more properties onto the taxable grand list, which is only an improvement for us. So we can continue to do that. And, we might see the same type of increase next year, which would be nice. Does anybody have any questions for me or the process?
Yeah, Betsy, last year when we calculated the mill rate, the grand list number that we were given was 723,133,500. So it looks like that is a little different here.
So that would be the number after we made any additions or subtractions to them for corrections. So we like to give you the number that you're actually collecting on after the fact. So that's why that might differ a little bit.
Perfect. It's a little bit lower. And so what number would we be using based on that same assumption? What would we be using this year?
That 737,824. That is the present number that I presented to the mayor.
Okay. What are they asking? I know it seems like motor vehicles keeps changing around with their minimums or maximums with their mill rate. What do you know what that's set at now?
So there is no longer a mill rate difference for motor vehicle. That's been redacted.
Okay. So it just falls into place as more property then, right?
It falls in with personal property and real estate. There's no differential anymore. And I guess it should be noted that we are going forward with our revaluation for this coming year. And I did speak to Keith about there was, when I presented my budget last year for reval, it was broken in half I guess, 65,000, and I might not be correct on the numbers. Keith, you can correct me. But we've discovered that we will be able to fund it with the money in this year and will not need the capital for next year, which is nice.
All right. Thank you very much, Betsy. Does anyone from the board have any questions of Betsy? Who just came in? Was that you, Ray? And Carlos?
Yes.
Okay. Who's in? I still don't have Brian or Sam then. Okay. All right. Then I think that's it. If nobody has any questions, do you want to go ahead then, Keith, with your driver thing?
Sure, ma'am. Thank you. There we go. I think you can you see it, Judy? I want to make sure you can see it. It says drivers.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Good evening. Thank you very much, Judy. What I want to walk through tonight is simply we went in and we extracted the departments that had the greatest dollar or percent increases year over year. Now, some of these I want to walk you through because there's some explanation either in the current year or next year that I just want everyone to be cognizant of as we do the analysis of the budgets. So in short, what you see before you on this screen are, how do you get it down? The line item totals that these are about 18% of, All right, these are the drivers. What you see here is these are about 39, almost 40% of the proposed budget are composed of these line items. The rest, of course, are going to be other fixed salaries. So when we get into the town clerk or the finance, those are inclusive of the salaries for those departments. So behind each one of these, the summary sheet, each one of these departments are spiked out. So for example, town clerk, you see an increase of 42,000 or an 18% increase. I'll explain that because that includes the additional clerk position. IT is up 27,000, and that's primarily us going, getting off the AS400, which is a 1980s IBM. Finance has an increase. This is somewhat of a realignment of the line items that used to be under the treasurer that really finances. And as you go down each one, you see the proposed budget, the current year's budget, percent variance, and the dollar variances. So if we start on the first one in finance, what we did here is the treasurer and I met and we kind of looked through the line items and Sal and I had done this as well. And he said, look, just over time, some of these line items have morphed into the treasurer, but they're really finance line items or vice versa. So what we did here was we said, what would be the true finance budget inclusive of the line items that used to be in the treasurer's lines that were not really treasurer line items. So the ones you see, for example, the bookkeeper, the fixed assets, the financial services, and the couriers, those line items used to be under the treasurer. So his budget went down directly proportional to these. So if I take it from the top, the finance assistant finance director, the two assistants we have, that is basically their general wage increase per the collective bargaining agreement. The finance director, same thing. That's a wage increase to what we have in the budget. The part-time human resource director is a proposal that's coming forth from the mayor's office, Drew Backlick, myself. It is a new position. So tonight is not, this is so much where we're parking the money. We're gonna have to have the philosophical discussion about the position and whether or not we move the money into special working balance or fund it or not fund it at all. But in short, we have a municipality. There is no human resource director. There's not even a part-time human resource director. The Board of Ed has a full-time human resource director. So the concept here is somebody, an individual who is either certified or practicing human resource director, cognizant of all of the HIPAA, FERPA laws, OSHA, sexual assault, sexual harassment, all of the things that we need to have somebody manage and navigate. And the way it is today is everybody kind of takes a shot at performing the role, either within their department or if an issue breaks out or there's a global issue such as, you know, corona testing. In most organizations or human resource department, we handle that. We have me, Drew, Mark gets involved in it. Sometimes we have Vin. It's an exposure to us because there are so many requirements and laws regarding human resources and personnel management. And I don't know if we're necessarily compliant with all of those. So the thought here was not a full-time position, a part-time position. One thing I would propose as we consider, you know, regionalization or sharing services, is do we approach the Board of Ed? They have a professional personnel manager, human resource director. Do we share services with them? Do we hire a retired someone to be more of a consultant? We think 40 grand would get us the return on the services we need to have a personnel human resource manager in the city. The financial services, that's a duplicate line item. The bookkeeper was approved as part of the 8-point plan. We've kind of been defensive the last 8 weeks in that we're just, you know, navigating and managing the operations of the city, especially where we're remote for most of the week. The bookkeepers we were talking to, they've kind of been consumed as well, especially with taxes were in April, then they got extended. So we expect to start to actively pursue the two individuals and come back to a recommendation to the full board in their June subcommittee meeting, hoping to get somebody on board in July. Petty cash, mail machine are set. Fixed assets, we used to do a fixed asset inventory on all of the city's assets. It's all technology and computers and everything else over $1,000. If you recall, 2 years ago, we were able to get the agreement and the understanding that we would do it every 2 years. So if you see in the 1920 it's $0, in 2021 it's funded at 6,000, but we're sliding over the finance department, since the finance department of the city handles the city side and the finance department of the Board of Ed handles the Board of Ed. Financial services, this used to be under the treasurer. This is if we have any kind of services or fees that we need performed, whether it be an actuarial, an accountant, if we're going to be doing anything with any bond analysis and there's any costs associated with that, this is really any outside services associated with the finance department. The courier is the Dunbar. That is an armed service that provides pickup from the city every day and transports the cash and checks to a depository for the banking institution. We are studying right now. We hope to have the analysis by tomorrow, and then we're going to come back, Judy, with a summary for you guys so we can understand what are we collecting in cash, what are we collecting in credit card, what are we collecting in online payments, and what are we collecting overall as a percent of the transactions in the window. That's going to help us understand, is cash really a player? And if so, we're also looking at, do we eliminate taking cash as a city? Even though by law you have to take cash, but it does allow you now under the new guidelines, if this legislative body of the city passes a resolution to eliminate the taking of cash, that's being driven primarily by Corona and cash transactions, that would modify our window activity, but we don't know to what degree. So we're breaking out all of the collections so we know if we would eliminate cash, what dollar amount and what percent of taxpayers who pay by cash would we be impacting. That's going to lead into services and level of services and what staffing do we need to sustain operations if we modify and eliminate cash at all. But courier actually takes our deposits every day to the bank. We're in a new environment. We used to have one of the ladies drive it up, or I would drive it up. It was unsafe and not conducive to sound cash management. So we do not want to eliminate the courier. If there is a reduction in services, let's figure that out this coming year, but keep the funding level the same. So that is an overview on the finance line items and drivers. Any questions before I go to the next one?
Okay, so the treasurer's department went down $55,000 and finance has gone up $101,000.
Of which 94 is the line item realignment. You see the sum of line item realignment?
That's what I was going to say, but thank you for finishing that for me. So the only new... So there is a difference of still of we're up 46,000 between the two departments. So that would be in the bookkeeping and the human resources, correct?
Correct, ma'am.
The rest is just sliding around. Okay.
So, I have a quick question, if you don't mind.
Pardon?
I have a quick question.
Who's this? Can you please say when you, yeah.
Keith, are we looking for like an actual like person for a bookkeeper or like a company?
A person. An individual with the skill set. Here's a couple of reasons why, Carla. When you start to look at a company, they start to have margins and markups on the hourly rate for an individual. So let's say the individual is netting $30 an hour. The company may charge us $50, $60, $70 an hour. So you're paying for a company. The advantage of the individual, especially now that we've developed online remote access, we've established VPN for the finance software, it's all secure. We can actually have an individual who can do it in evenings and nights and weekends and not have to physically come into the building. Prior to Corona, we were antiquated. We could not even VPN into the system. So if you wanted to do anything, you had to drive to City Hall and do it. More importantly, we're actually processing purchase orders and requisitions differently. Remember I told you we're going to the encumbered system in July? Right now, all the requisitions are being done electronically. So the department heads are emailing your acts or processing them electronically. I share that with you because the more we do electronically and the more we build up the use of the financial software, it's easier for an individual to perform the functions we're going to agree upon remotely. So we believe we get more return on our money for an individual. You get more productivity, I believe. And also, should the individual not work out, you could go to another individual easier with having a contract with a Robert Half or someone of that nature. So it gives us more flexibility to satisfy the position.
Thank you.
Keith, who's in charge of doing all this now?
Doing what?
Doing all these things that you just mentioned with the bookkeeping and with the finances and stuff like that, and looking at how much cash comes in compared to checks and credit cards and stuff like that.
Well, that would not be a bookkeeper function. That's something that we do just as analytics within the finance department. But if we're making a decision to eliminate cash, Chris, right? It behooves us to quantify that, understand what percent of our taxpayers pay by cash, right? If it's 1 or 2% versus if it's 30%, right? The decision is going to be much different if we're saying we're eliminating M1, which is monetary cash. If we're eliminating that, is it smart because 30% of our taxpayers pay by cash? If it's 1 or 2%, and we can endorse additional means like a money order, a bank check, whatever, then the decision becomes different. So I just think before we take advantage of the executive order the governor offered, which is allowing you to eliminate cash, we just want to quantify that. So that's analysis we're doing now with the tax collector and myself. What the bookkeeper would be doing is, if you recall the findings in the audits, was the reconciliations, doing the verifications. Like if I'm reconciling an account, you need someone else to proof it, right? So we don't have that now. So Maria does some, I do some. It's called segregation of duties. It's been all in all of the audits. And one of the things we all agreed upon when we did the 8-point plan was bringing in the bookkeeper to actually make us more efficient and to take on some of the roles that are being done, but they're not being done timely right now. So the ultimate goal is when you have a bookkeeper on, reconciliations would be done by the second week of the month following the close. Right now, we could be as much as 4 to 5 weeks late. We just don't have the manpower, the skill set in the office, and we haven't in years to get this done in accordance with GAAP and sound practices.
Thank you.
Okay, I can move on to the town clerk, ma'am.
Sure.
Okay, this one is I want to walk you through this on a macro level, then we'll get into the line items. Down at the bottom, you see the variance there of $42,417. I want to walk you through how that variance was derived, because some of it is how we are booking certain budgetary line items in the 1920 budget. So if wages, that's town clerk wages, that's driven off of contract and off of ordinances, I believe, that drive what his earnings are. Assistant town clerks are for the two clerks we have. I believe they both came out of probation last month. Great hires. They are absolutely fantastic, both on a customer service level, skill set level. So that office has two really good assistant town clerks now. The third item, clerk wages, if you recall, there was money put into the budget last year, or the current year we're in there now, for a third clerk. But the tax board put it in the special working balance. So what I did here, Judy, just for purposes of transparency, I'm putting it back in the department for 2021. but it's sitting in the working balance for 1920. So when we get to Tuesday, I'm either going to move it back into 1920 or take it out of 2021 and put in special working balances. But before we do that, I wanted to put it in the department so you see where I'm parking it in the first step. So we are putting it back in the budget, but we're putting it in the department this year. Should we agree to leave it, we'll move it either to special working balance for 2021 or bring it down in 1920 to special working balance. I didn't want to do that because as a board, if I move it out of the special working balance, it just skews the numbers because you never approved that transfer. So I'm just trying to show you where it is and what drives it. So technically, the department for 1920 does not have that third clerk. It's in special working balance. The other delta, if you go down to city preservation, this really has it's really a pass-through. There's a revenue side for this. Unfortunately, the way it stands now, 1920 didn't have it in there. 2021, I put it in there. So I neutralized and equalized these two. So it's in both years, city preservation, but it's a grant. So if it comes in, we're going to have it on the revenue side, it'll offset. So the increase really in this budget is not the 42, it's the 42 less the 38, which when you look at it, is really just wages are driving it up.
Yeah, that's what we've always done with the clerk wages. The last question we always ask is, have you hired anyone yet? And if it's no, then we say, okay, we're going to put it on the special working balance, but we do that at the very end.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's what we've always done.
We went to miscellaneous capital, ma'am?
Sure.
Okay. So miscellaneous capital, this is all of the capital items that we have in the budget, any leases we have. For the fire trucks, the police console, the turnout gear. You see charter authorization, fire capital. That's the allocation that's required by charter. And then Ryan Field is required by charter on an annual basis. We have to give them $10,000. The line item, the only reason this line item is going up this year is the new lease that we got in for the 2019 fire gear. And I believe the Scott Air Packs were in there. That's an $80,000 lease that starts next year. So that's why it's in the 2021 and it's not in the 1920. That's the only change in the capital for drivers. That lease was approved by the alderman and approved by the tax board in 2019.
What is that, Keith?
We had bought turnout gear and some Scott Air Packs.
And why do we have the other turnout gear thing? I was confused on that. We have another 27.
You're coming to the tail end of the one we did 4 years ago.
Okay, is that the very last one this year then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we have the crossover then just this year. Correct. Or in this coming budget, and then how will the 80 be laid out?
I believe it's 80 for the next 3 years.
Okay. Because I remember us approving the one that's the 27.8. I didn't remember that we had a new one, so.
Yeah, it was community financing. Tommy Leonard worked on it. David Leonard worked on it, excuse me. And it was remember, we're trying to keep the year going. If you recall the conversation, we have a lot of gear, and Brian may be able to chime in on this if you wish. We had a lot of gear that was coming to the end of the OSHA life, and it was getting to the 10-year mark. And, you can't put any interior firefighters in there with expired gear. So we had to catch up. If you recall, we had a few, we had quite a few that were coming to the end of their life, and it was a catch-up year.
So this was approved, you're saying, by the Capital Planning Committee, correct?
Correct, and the alderman approved it, ma'am.
And the alderman, okay. So we haven't seen this in the tax board, per se?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And then we still have the same 285, 850, which would be other projects?
Yes, ma'am, and that's the way you have some wiggle room. The way the timeline would play out, you would adopt the budget with the 285, and then capital plan would catch up with it, in June or July with the capital plan items totaling the 285, and then that would be allocated in accordance with the plan adopted by the alderman after the capital plan.
What is the deadline for people to submit their capital planning requests?
We're gonna have it by the third week in June. That gives us the ability to adopt it before, in the July alderman meeting like we did last year.
Okay, so we're not going to know quite yet what the demand is.
It's going to be high. It's going to be high. Well, it always is. Yeah. The thing that is an unknown, both with our budget and with the Board of Ed, if you recall, the Board of Ed budget did not have any numbers associated with any modifications for Corona. I believe when we developed the plan, capital plan for 2021, a good 70,000 is going to be targeted towards enhancements or improvements for Corona-based capital improvements, whether it be windows so the public don't go into offices, whether it be plexiglass screens between work areas. There's a lot of things, enhancements that we have to consider to make it as safe as possible. And those are going to gobble up a good 50 to 70 grand in proposals. Doesn't mean we're going to do them all, but we've had two companies come in and we're getting prices and they're not cheap.
I wish I owned a plexiglass company right now. I would feel very comfortable. These people are cleaning up. All right.
Health services. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So, just a quick question too, when you get a chance.
No, I'm done. Okay, go ahead.
We know, like the Board of Ed was talking about the other night, that they may have savings because they weren't in school or whatever the reason may be for the coronavirus. Do we anticipate on the city side having any of that or not really?
To frame the Board of Ed savings, the Board of Ed savings is coming from third-party contracts, negotiated settlements with the bus company and the special ed providers. So that's one where their contracts have actually a per diem price for buses. So they were not using it, but the governor put out an executive order that said all districts must or shall negotiate with the transportation providers a settlement. So let's just say we save 70% or we save 60% or whatever. That's a true savings. The difference is the amount of money they're spending on Corona is going to start to tally up right now, right? Because they're starting to look at enhancements in the buildings now to either get through summer school or start in September. The savings, we don't have third-party contracts that were per diem contracts. So our building was still open just like there was, so you have electricity. We were still paying our staff just as they were. We actually have more expenses because we dropped just about $2,000 in masks and gloves just last week. We had the laptops for $15,000. Remember the Corona sheet I gave you where the tally was there that absorbed the new $42,000?
Right. Yeah.
So if we didn't have that check coming from the IRS, we would have had a budget increase of $42,000. So we actually wouldn't have had a savings because if we had a savings, let's say the computer company said, you're a per diem, Carlo, just like the transportation, then we would have savings. But we don't have any per diem contracts like that. And we didn't really eliminate much cost. You might have, had some use, less use of electricity and whatnot, but we didn't close buildings. We didn't stop services. We actually increased this cost as a result of Corona.
I mean, I guess we're going to have little dibs and dabs. Like we didn't have a Memorial Day parade.
Yeah. That's a couple $100. True.
So there's things, there are odds and ends that we didn't do, but there's nothing big like the whole transportation special ed thing that the Board of Ed has, right?
Right. Health services, pretty flat. The only thing is Storms did request $100,000 again for next year. Your board, they did request in 1920, $100,000. You guys approved $60,000. So that increase of $40,000 is directly correlated with the Storms request. Library, Nicole is on, but in short, the only drivers here, if I go up here, other than the wages, is part-time assistance is up $18,000, and then grants is up $20,999. To draw your attention to grants, that would be an offset on the revenue side. So the real driver here is $18,674 for part-time assistance, and I'll defer to Nicole now.
Right. Can you talk to us about that, Nicole, a little bit?
Sure, I can do that. I had a couple questions for Keith, if you don't mind. I was working on it this afternoon, and I saw that I assumed the yellow highlighted items are items that are in question. Is that true?
No, it's the drivers. It's drivers.
Okay.
They affect us. Yeah, they affect us.
Okay. Because I couldn't figure out why the $838 was going to affect us.
Because it went up. Adult circulation librarian, right? Aren't you adding services there?
No, that's an existing person that's part of her contract. Okay, I just got confused. Okay, the part-time assistants, just so you know, I had also asked in there as part of that was a part-time bookkeeper, because as well learning, going to the, as what Keith had mentioned, I had also looking at a way to separate when I order something, somebody to cross-check my payments. So I had put something in there for that. I had also put in, at the time I had, I consistently asked for two more part-time library assistants to do that. Going forward, it's something we can talk about offline or we can talk about at the next meeting. Those items are negotiable to bring that down. If I didn't take the two part-timers and or hire the bookkeeper, you would be looking at about $34,000 in change and savings. So that's a possibility on item on 1100114.
Okay, so right now you're up 18 in change. So it actually would go down even further without the bookkeeper?
Yep.
Okay, we'd be back at the 141 then, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So no, we'd still be down 18. Where would the bookkeeper come out of?
The bookkeeper was also part of that. The bookkeeper, I had done, I don't know, 4 hours a week for 15,000. And I had part-time assistants coming in for a little bit less. So you would, with the 15 and the 15, it would have been like coming down to the 141. There was going to be 11 part-time assistants. Now we're back down to our 9.
So you could actually go back then to 132? Is that what we're saying?
No, I can't go to 132. Okay. I have to be 141.
Okay.
That's for 140. My part-timers.
Okay, but that's only 18 off of, that still sticks with the 18. You're saying 30, that's what I'm not quite understanding.
Oh, okay.
I have one question.
I don't know.
Alderman put into where we're saying at the last meeting that there's a hiring freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see.
I wrote this, absolutely, Chris. I wrote this in February before COVID. So this was a wish list at that time.
Okay. So you're not going to be, your library is not going to be devastated if you don't get the two extra part-timers, but that would be good to have. Okay.
It would have been good to have.
All right.
Can you go down? Who was in charge of the Excel spreadsheet?
I don't know who's doing this.
Who's scrolling?
Somebody is, not me.
Okay, there it is. I'm very confused about the grants. I don't know where the $28,000 came from because I never put it in any of my paperwork.
It's a great library grant. This year we have a library grant in the spreadsheet for $28,500. I can dig out where it came from. I just cut and paste from an object report.
Okay, because, all right, maybe there is a discrepancy. We can look at that because I looked at everything, Keith, this afternoon. I couldn't find it, so unless it was.
Did you just give us a grant this year that we just did the journal entry for?
Yes, that's not, that is.
And how much is that?
That's $3,500, but that's from the board of, that's, that
$3,500?
$35,000. I'm so sorry.
Yes, $35,000. Right. So that, I think that's driving this $28,500, but we could look at it.
Because okay, that's a pass through, so that's correct. Not really affecting our bottom line, right?
Okay. Right. Because if you look at the 28 and the 7, right, that gives you $35,000.
Okay.
20. Okay. So we wouldn't count that against you as an increase because we're putting on the revenue side. Okay. That's so your only increase is really the two part time assistants and then the little bit of a salary bump. Okay. So what's happening down at the library?
We're open. With your library card, come download audiobooks and use our databases.
Oh, really?
And we're doing virtual programming. So check us out.
Is there any plexiglass involved?
That's part of my thing, too. I've started my own COVID capital plan.
You could make, like, walls with the books, though, couldn't you? Couldn't you just, like, pile books up and then you're on that side and...
That was a creative idea, but no.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming, Nicole. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right, Keith, what else do you have driving us?
Community development. Basically, the budget is relatively flat other than some general wage increases and one new line item. This matching grant allocation, this came from Andrew and the mayor. What they're finding is there's money out there for grants, but there's some of them have straight up grant. Some of them have a matching portion of the grant. So in other words, there's 50 grand, that grant available, you have to put 20 in or you have to put 50 in. And during the course of the year, once we adopt the budget, we've never had a line item that would allow for us to be our matching share. Now, this number of 100,000 is just based on some grants that we could have qualified over this year if we had the matching portion. Now, what happens with this is I put here an add to revenue, but it's not a one-for-one correlation, meaning if the grant is, you know, if it, let's say it's a 25% match, we can't put the 100 on this expenditure side and the 100 on the revenue side. So we'd have to talk about coming up with some number on the revenue side because we would get a portion of this, but this is just, they're looking to have some seed money to chase other grants. So I put it in economic development. We could bring them in, they could talk about it, but that's the concept here, is grants are out there, they want a local matching share, we have no place in the budget to fund the local matching share, and then what percent of this we add to the revenue, we'd have to mutually agree upon a conservative figure.
Okay, so this is something towards the end we could also put in special working balance and pull out as needed, correct?
Correct, yes ma'am.
We want to, okay.
Keith, Brian Capullo here, just quick question. Is this just a general bookmark, or are we going to get more information per grant allocation? That's to say, if it was to break down the 100,000, are we going to get something to say for what certain grant, or is that not for us?
I wouldn't say it's not for you, Brian. It's just we don't have it right now, right? So what this is saying is, let's say in September of 20. DECD comes out and says, look, there's a sidewalk improvement. You get 50% match. So then we would come and say, okay, we're applying for this grant. We got the grant. You asked for 60 grand. We got to put up 30. That 30 would come out of this 100. And then the 30 would go on the revenue side, Brian, not the 60.
Okay. Right?
But to Brian's point though, is who would, if we put a pot out there, then who gets the, who sees over that? So like they come in for something and they want to use up 30 of it.
Right.
Do the aldermen see that and say, yeah, go ahead. Do we see it?
It would, the mayor would sign off on the grant, but what we could make, as we did with the special ed line item, Judy, is we report it to you. We can report it to you.
Yeah, that's why I would like to put this in special working balance, because then in order for them to use it, they would have to come before the board and have it moved into this line from the special working balance, and then we could see what the grant's about.
That, or if, yeah, either way, or like Brian, for example, there we have a reserve fund now that we created, what is it, 2 years ago, Judy, now, or 1 year, maybe 2 years ago. And that's where money goes on the city side to help offset special education on the Board of Ed side. But we can't spend out of there unless the board approves it. So we could structure it the same way, Brian, that you know, like Judy said, you either move it out of special working or nothing gets expended without us advising you, kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think the tax board has all that much know-how on how to what to do, but we just need an oversight somehow, not just a general grant matching fund. So, yeah, cool. Okay.
Bonded indebtedness, this one tonight, again, is an overview because it has some drivers in it, but in short...
Big drivers.
Well, in short, remember, this is a pass-through. So the sewer 2015, that $1.6 million, is going to be on the revenue side. So that's going to be offset. What that is was a 2015 revenue sewer bond referendum that passed. The strategy there was they were going to put in a capital fee, which they did, and they put the fee in, and the first interest and principal payment was done last year. but they started the fee 2 years ago. So what would happen, the concept was, they would have about $3.5 million in there before the first debt payment was made, which was this year. The first payment was about $1.3 million. So they're still ahead by the delta, which is about the $1.6 million. When they collect capital fee next year and we pay the 1.6, their capital reserve fund is always a year ahead of the debt schedule. And that was the design we did it when we borrowed the money in 2016. So I'm glad to say what we did worked, finally. Something worked that we did. So they're ahead. That's a pass-through. So they will write us a check for $1.6 million in 2021. That offsets that. The only real increase to us is the $500,000, which is the TD Bank lease payment for the Johnson Control Energy Improvement Program. Now, if I could take a minute on this one, Judy, just to give a backdrop, is that okay?
Yep, please.
Okay, so the concept was Johnson Controls came in, and they're like an energy management company, and they look at all of the energy usage in the city, fixtures, light fixtures from ballast to T1, water consumption, setbacks for thermostats and whatnot, and they come up with a scope of work that they believe would result in energy savings. The Alderman approved this, so it did go to the Alderman for approval. And the payment for this is considered a municipal lease because it's linked to an asset, right? The asset is the fixture, the asset is the pumps, the asset is the air conditioning that we put in Irving School. So the theory is, when they do these programs, is we're going to do $5.7 million of repairs, improvements. You're going to borrow the money to cover that. Then, as you have energy savings with the improvements that were made, the energy savings has a guarantee component that says the energy savings is going to cover your, I'll call it debt. It's a lease payment, but let's just say it's debt. That'll cover your debt payment. So you got the improvements, you're going to fund it with the savings in your utility bills. And then over time, you're going to have more savings because your debt payments go away and you still have the savings from all these improvements. That's the concept. In the proposal for the Johnson Controls to the city, there was about $2.4 million of that, $5.7 million, I believe it was for solar panels. And the solar panels, while they're about half of the cost, they were going to give us about 60 to 70% of the energy savings. You could save a little money on changing a light to a T1, changing the flow valve, changing night setbacks, but where the bread and butter was in the solar panels. They were the largest item on the scope of work. They're largest items in dollars of the project, and they were going to yield us the greatest savings. So when this was done, the concept was that in 1920, we as a city, we're going to have a savings of about $400,000. Then in 2021, we were going to save about another $400,000. The problem is the panels have not been installed. They're still in design. I want to say they're in the early stages of design. When you look at the AA document, they're probably about 10 or 15% in design. So we haven't received the savings that we were supposed to because the panels aren't in. The panels were about 9 to 10 months delayed as of last month. In addition to the delays that some were the city's fault and some were Johnson Controls, now with the corona, Johnson Controls has partial staff working for hundreds of thousands of people working just a couple days a week, so they're either further behind. So what we did in 1920 was we went back to TD Bank and we said, listen, hold on. We have no savings this year, but yet we have our first debt payment. It doesn't work. That's like us buying a car, putting it in our driveway, paying the lease payment, but we're not getting the car for another 12 months. So we were able to renegotiate the first year's payment to be next year. But with that came the reality that the reality being it was $380. We have to pay $120 of what we would have paid this year. So we really deferred a portion of this year's lease payment to next year. The Alderman approved that. So now you say, okay, Keith, you got 500. Are we saving any money in 2021? I don't believe so. I believe the first savings, even if they do the panels in the next 3 months, you're going to be into, let's say they get up and running by September, October of 20. You might see some savings, but we're not going to see the first year savings until 21, 22. So while I wish I would have been able to say, okay, folks, there's a TD lease payment of 500, but we're saving 250. We cannot say that today comfortably enough because they're not even installed. There's a request from the state to approve. They want to put them on the school roofs. That's working its way and navigating its way through the approval process on the state level. If the state doesn't approve the roofs, then we have to find some terrain that could house the same number of square footage of panels. There is talk of putting them on the Payton Fieldhouse. The problem with that is the Payton Fieldhouse, just on square footage, although it's a great roof that's exposed to sun, it's not even close to the middle, the high school square footage that panels were going to go on. So these panels are definitely a pebble in our shoe. It's delayed, and it's the greatest return and savings we're supposed to get. So it looks like next year is going to be a hard hit for the 500, and then the 500 goes back to 380 in 21-22, and we expect some savings in 21-22. But folks, we would be gambling if we put a savings in 2021. That's just the straight up story with these panels. It's not a pleasant story right now.
Keith, quick question for you. So we don't necessarily know where these solar panels are going. So like you said, my concern would be that if we do decide to put them on roofs, that's not zero cost, because if the roofs have to be refurbished or, you know, restructured, reinforced, I mean, that could be an additional charge and cost, correct?
My pause is this, Brian. The state of Connecticut reimburses roof replacements of schools. So that's not local dollars that would be used to replace the roofs. Where there's a little hiccup is the state is saying, look, if your roof is more than 1 year old, we don't like approving panels, because the panels have a 20-year. Let's say your roof is 5 years, Brian, just for a scenario sake, okay? You're going to theoretically may replace your roof in 15, the panels have another 5. We don't want to pay for a roof repair because there is a hard cost to remove the panels, and we're not going to cover that if your roof is greater than 1 year old. So you're correct, there is a cost, but if it had been done at the same time as the 1 year roof, they would cover the cost of that through the school reimbursement construction project. But that's the dilemma we have now, is some of our roofs are 5 or 6 years old. And if you put them on there, you do have that issue you're talking about, where we may have local cost to replace them. Now, we are going to, without revealing it, possibly take a position that if there was an issue with them doing the roofs, the approval, then they should escrow the money to remove and repair those, Brian, in less than 20 years. So we have some discussions to do with the provider, because we should not be exposed, nor should the taxpayers, because of that disconnect between proposing the roofs and the roofs, you know, being greater than 1 year old, us being exposed to removal cost in 15 or 20 years. So that is a vulnerability we have, Brian, in 15 years. If they were in sync, that cost would be covered, but we're not in sync. So that's part of the navigation of why the state's saying, hey, we're not really agreeing to putting them on the school roofs. Your roofs are more than 1 year old. So Johnson Controls has been tasked with resolving that with the state of Connecticut. Once we have whatever that resolution is, we will definitely come back to the Board of Aldermen and the Tax Board. But if my position, at least, and I think the position we should all take, if there's any dollar exposure because of a disconnect between the life of the roof and the life of the panels, we should not be paying that whatsoever. That should be escorted by Johnson Controls. But we have not settled that yet, Brian, but that's kind of where it would go, I believe.
Okay, thank you, Keith.
Yep, and just on the middle school, the reason they're not going on the middle school is when the middle school was designed, the loads for the roof are not designed to handle the panels. So that's why it's the high school or possibly some portion of Payton as a supplemental or alternative, but the middle school is off base because the load is too great for the building.
Can you explain on both the city side and the company side why we are in a delay other than for the COVID reasoning?
I will be happy to in an executive session, Carlo, just because this may get ugly. And I'd rather do that in executive session because it's potential litigation.
Okay.
Is that fair? I'm not ducking it. I just don't want to expose, you know, us publicly on that.
All right.
Yeah, it's, I think it's wise.
Keith, I'm a little confused about something. In 2019, the city and the aldermen got a $6 million grant or a $6 million loan for Johnson's Control to do all this stuff, correct?
Yep.
And 3 months ago, when I was in an alderman meeting, they came in and asked if they could put solar panels on the roofs. Now, where were the solar panels going before this?
They were going on the roofs, but there was a grant that had to be approved. There was a document that had to be submitted to the state of Connecticut that needed legislative approval. But Johnson's Control always had them slated to go on the roofs.
I see, but the only reason why I'm asking is because I was in the alderman meeting, and Dr. Conway came in and asked if he could go out and see if he could put the solar panels on the roofs.
I believe he submitted a request to the state of Connecticut for approval to put them on the roofs because Mark Izzo just submitted that last month. So that was a grant that Mark Izzo and the Board of Ed had to submit online, and Patty Finn was the conduit for that. So I believe there was that was legislative action to approve submitting it.
All right, and also. All of the new gas lines that go into all the schools now, is that part of this Johnson Control?
Yes, sir.
But didn't the Board of Ed just come to us the other day and ask for more money just to do that? Just to put it in because it was...
The scope of work was approved by Johnson. I believe what Mark Izzo came to you with was for more funding for natural gas, because if I recall what he told you guys was he's weeding off the oil he has in the tanks because the systems they have in the boilers went out of dual fuel. So the natural gas is a new line item in his budget. So that he has an increase in natural gas. And if you recall, he doesn't use much oil, but he's burning what's left. So he did ask for in his budget natural gas for these new boilers.
I see.
But the cost of the natural gas lines going in were not, they're covered by Johnson. They're not in the operating budget for either the city or the Board of Ed.
Okay, so it was just for the cost of the use of the gas.
I believe his budget now has a natural gas line. Yes, that's new. They've never had it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Keith, who is on the city side, the overseer of this whole project?
Well, Johnson Control has a project manager. Then the alderman hired a third-party engineer, ECG, I believe it is, out of Long Island, who they're the owner's rep. They're making sure that the scope of work gets done. They're making sure that the assumptions that assure savings are real and not artificial or fantasy. But the actual scope, getting the work done, is a team that I think Andrew's on there. The building facilities rep for the Board of Ed is on there. And ECG is on there.
And they would be the ones taking the recommendations, for example, to put the solar panels in X location, and then they would go to that committee or board for approval, or how does that work?
The roofs, what's happening now is since the roofs were changing that, well, let's say potentially changing their locations, they definitely came off the middle school. Any place they're going to be put would go to the alderman, because if they're going to go on a field or whatnot, that would go to the alderman, because it would be a change order in the scope.
But is there any people other than the alderman that say, okay, this is where we should put them from the city after the company gives us their recommendation? Does it get vetted before it goes to the Board of Aldermen, or not really?
Vetted, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely getting vetted before. It's like, if it's going to go somewhere else in the Board of Ed, Dr. Conway is involved. The Board of Ed now has a subcommittee that's looking at things, anything that goes in their projects. So it goes through probably two or three different vetting bodies or individuals, Carlo.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. City engineer, relatively flat. The only thing is the stormwater discharge permit line item. Currently, you have $30,000 in this year. Ed Armino and myself met, and the company was like spending like we had $70,000 in this year, and we had to slow them down and say, look, we only have $30,000. And they said, well, we said we needed $70,000. Well, you got $30,000, but they do think they need $70,000 in next year to finish the stormwater discharge analysis that started last year. I could have Ed Armino come in to talk about this next Tuesday, but we definitely, there's not enough money this fiscal year, so we've stopped them. They wanted another $30,000 this year, so we've moved it to next year. So next year is $70,000 starting July 1 is the request.
There's got to be some point where we can do our own testing or something. This is, we've just spent such a lot of money on this stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we need to have some sort of end date on this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this has been a while now. So it was 40 some in 17, 18.
Then it went down. And then
because we were doing like stuff that was behind at that point, right? We owed right. money. And then 15, then we just to jump from 15 to 30 was pretty big, but 30 to 70, holy moly.
They're claiming they asked for 70 in 1920, Judy. But I can't, I'm sure they did, but I only found the 30. That's what was put in the budget. So they're asking for the balance of the 30 from this year plus 30 next year. Maybe we bring them in and have them to present to you guys because it's a big nut.
Well, yeah, but I know what they're going to say. So who's like the most knowledgeable here?
Ed Armino.
Would that be Ed Armino?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, maybe we'll, because we may have other questions for him anyway on public works. So we could throw that in then at that time. That's testing water. It's like if you bought a swimming pool and they said it's going to cost you $70,000 to keep the pH balance. It's like, no.
Now, the stormwater, though, does it come into, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers when it comes to proper drainage into our water supply? Is that a weird cog that's involved? A pretty, pretty independent in all this.
Well, this is a third-party engineer we hired, Brian, I want to say 2 years ago, Anchor Engineering. So we're paying them directly. It's not going through COG. It kind of weaves together because we do have water filtration that goes from storm drains into sewer. But this is really a stormwater discharge study analysis. So we're paying them directly, not through the COG.
Yeah, and so far, I mean, we've examined this and had them in and had everything in front of the board for a few years now. And it's like we never can find a way out of this. It's kind of, these are the, I'm not sure who has charged this thing, but it's like we're stuck. But I think they've said several times that this is something that someone other than them could do if they had the training and such, which I think at the time we thought, well, we're almost done anyway. But if it's 70 now, I don't even want to think what it's going to be after. I think this is going to be an ongoing.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe we have to put them on the stand just to, you know, show that this line item is being reviewed and it's not just a number that's just going to be accepted, you know?
No, exactly. I agree.
Would the board like to see them come in then? Not only just talk to Ed, but also have Anchor come in?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
All right, I'll arrange them for Tuesday, Judy. You know, Brian, like you said, this is like they're eating at a table and ordering drinks and leaving us the tab. You know what I mean? We got to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
So is this $70,000, is this a yearly thing or a bi-yearly thing or?
They're saying in 1920 they needed $70,000 to perform the scope that they presented to the alderman. And we said, look, you got 30. So they had to stop what they were doing about a month and a half ago. So they're saying, look, we had another 30 for next year for 2021. And I think it was for two more years. So we need 70 next year to do what we said for next year, plus catch up what we didn't do this year. And it was just like, oh boy. So I think what Brian's thought is we bring them in and we have them lay it out clearly for all of us and at least kick the tire, you know, Ray, and make sure we understand what it is and push back a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. And understand, like, again, are they going to come back in 2022? Is this 70,000 every year or every? And again, I know this is state regulated, so we're somewhat forced to do it, but we should understand what our expenses are going to be ongoing.
Yeah. I thought they presented somewhat of a package the other time they came in, and there was we were kind of winding down, but this looks like a big winding up here.
It goes on forever.
All right, I'll invite them for Tuesday, Judy.
Okay, appreciate it. And then we can maybe get to the bottom of it, because that's a lot of test tubes there.
Education. This one, they presented the education budget, but if you recall, from a tax board perspective, there's two buckets that the Board of Ed operating budget is funded by. The first one is by the city operating budget, which is the MVR for Board of Ed operating budget, and then what we get from the state for educational cost sharing. So when they asked for $19.7 million, the educational cost sharing is staying flat at $6.8 million.
So our MBR is going up $1,000.
A million.
Yeah. Well,
we have to increase our share. We don't have to, but in order to get to your 19.7, you need 12.8 million in local money versus 11.7. Now, what the state did do, if you go down and look at the alliance number, which is right here, they increased the educational cost sharing, which is comprised of the educational cost sharing for the town and Alliance, which is how we got jammed up 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. They increased the Alliance by 155, but we have to give them that increase. We cannot use this increase to reduce this number. So they did increase ECS, but it's all Alliance money of 155 that has to go to the Board of Ed. So if you fund at 19.7, we take away the 6.8, which is educational cost sharing. That's the state's assistance to us for education. The local dollars will go up by $1,099,000. So whatever you decide on this will only change this. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
You're way over in WH column here. There we go.
So any discussion on this will only reduce this.
Over on the revenue, though, and I think I had mentioned that to you, I don't know what, in the revenue, you still have the 2019-20 number instead
of this 24. I have to add that to the Alliance revenue line. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this is the right number. We're looking at acquisitions here. Okay. All right, and then if they came up, I think they're going to find out now or early June, if they get back, let's say, $300,000. I'm just making this number up.
Yep. Yep.
If they got back $300,000 between the bus company and the special ed, and we let them drop that down to their new line where they're allowed to roll forward, right? Would they be allowed to use that in their operating budget for the special ed expenses, to offset special ed expenses?
If they cave back, let's say 300.
Yep.
My understanding.
Drop it down.
They were going to request that goes into the special ed reserve fund, which would not change this number.
Okay.
Just follow me. It does change it in the end. But let's just say they give them 300 and we put that in the special ed reserve fund.
Yep.
Doc Conway said that he would then reduce this budget by some number with the understanding that if special ed goes up, because I believe special ed was a good chunk of the increase, we would allow them to use the reserve fund.
Okay. So that money coming in, if we allow them to put it into their special ad reserve, it should then offset this ask for their operating budget.
He was going to adjust his ask for special ed portion of this budget.
Okay.
In some correlation with that money, because that money, if we put it in a special reserve, cannot be used to support general wage increases or any new staffing or anything.
Right.
It would be a hard transportation or outplacement for special ed. Right. With the understanding, if you remember, before they tap that money, we put the caveat in that they must exhaust their operating budget. So if they have, let's say, they have savings of 10 grand electricity, they need to use that before we tap the special reserve. And they agreed to that, if you remember, 2 years
ago. Yeah, I think the agreement we made with them was pretty tight. So better than Johnson Controls.
I want to just highlight here the variance. I'm not including this because by MBR and education, but we have to use that towards education. Mm-hmm. So I'm using the variance here between these two because these have to be used towards education. This is local, hard local dollars you'd have to pay.
Yep.
Hey, Keith, how comfortable are you in that number from the state, the 6865? Are there concerns?
Oh, that's locked. That's year two of a biannual. So that's not like we're waiting for them to adopt a budget.
Okay, so whatever budget shortfall the state may have due to COVID, they're kind of locked into that number, is what you're saying?
They never pay it all anyway, though, do they?
Well, I just, you know what, as the Board of Ed on Tuesday was doing their presentation, I was reading an article about concerns nationwide with state budgets declining due to COVID, and it could have a real impact on education budgets across the nation. And that's just kind of why I'm asking that question.
Yeah.
Good question.
And it may even be too early to know, but I know, Keith, you usually have a good pulse on what's going on in Hartford.
It's better. This is more secure of a number than if we were going into a New Year's budget next year, right?
Yeah.
That's always a gamble. We're guessing a number in June or April. They do a number in September, October. So it's more solid than that, Ray, than that scenario.
Okay.
Statutorily, for them to change this, and being we're a Alliance District town, that would be tough. That would be a hard hit on the community.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, thanks.
So I just want to review something real quick. So what I'm doing here is the increase is $1 million in their operating budget. The Alliance is going up by 155. I added the two because when you say, what do we truly spend in education? You know how we always get that question, what's the Board of Ed, what's the grants? That's the 21. So I did add the 109.9, which is local dollars, plus the increase in Alliance, but this we can't touch. This has to go to education.
Okay.
But I could, somebody's asked about that. I'll clarify it with them. That was the intent there.
Yep. Going back to the MBR thing, if Dr. Conway, let's say, knows he's getting, like Judy said, just a random number, 300,000 back, right?
Mm-hmm.
We knock that number down. But when we transfer the money to him, wouldn't that number then go up by the 300 and then we'd be stuck at that number? Or no?
No, because we were gonna pay the bills out of that fund. Doesn't change their number.
So we're paying out a separate fund, not out
right.
of the
it's in that it's in that special reserve fund.
So if we give him $11,750,000 in 2019-20, we can't take 300. We can't say, oh, we're gonna keep you flat and we're gonna take out 300,000 because that would be decreasing their MBR, correct?
Correct. And that's why what he would do is if the number's 300, you know, let's say 200, but if it's 200, he's saying he would reduce his proposal to you by some number close to that so that he's getting the same amount of money with the understanding the 200's in capital in the special ed reserve, but his MBR doesn't go up because that number would be now reduced by what he has in that reserve fund.
Yeah.
So it doesn't trap us in year two.
Yeah, we just have to be careful what we give. That's the whole thing. And we can't take more than our MBR, so.
So just to go to this number, everyone says every year, well, what do we really spend in education? With Alliance and operating budget, it's 21 million. But remember, they have grants that go directly to them. Title I, Title II, all that grant goes to them. That's not in this number because that goes directly to them. And I think, Carla, you asked the question, what are some grant expenditures that potentially have exposure should the grant money run out? That's where that money goes, out of the 5 or 6 million for grants. So that goes directly to them from the state. So this is the cost of education for Alliance, local money, and ECS. So those grants are not in these numbers, but there's a couple million that they get directly.
More power to them.
Police, you guys kind of went over the police. So I'll go to IT.
Police didn't have anything really, did they? They had...
No, they went up a little bit at the end, but he took out education and...
Yeah, so he's up 60, pretty flat.
Yeah, he's up 67,000. Sure. All right, IT. Just for purposes of transparency, we are going to tweak this $25,000 number, but... the only real increase, as you see in services, is because the annual maintenance agreement is going up from 37 to 42 and change. But the upgrades and new equipment, this 25,000, unfortunately, this number will go up, but this 25,000 is going to cover us getting off the IBM AS400, which is a machine from the 70s and 80s, to put us on a cloud-based program with GEMS. And that will give us new program, new enhancements, better reporting, better budget modules. It has a human resource module, but it's cloud-based. And that's a one-time fee to do the conversion. If we were to go with a new financial software, a Munis, any of these others, you're talking well over $100,000, $125,000 just for the purchase of the software. Then you have the transition, then you have the conversion. Walsh new software enhancements is good. We're not even using all the ones we have now. So the fact that we're going to go cloud-based and they've enhanced many of these modules, like the budget module and whatnot, it's the best option we're facing without a six-figure hit to the bottom line to go to a new software. Plus you have the learning curve. All of the staff, tax office, finance, WPA, they know this software pretty well. So we're just looking to get off the IBM AS400, which we are probably one of two left in the state that have an IBM AS400 hard drive.
So what's the $43,000 for, Keith, for the service?
Annual maintenance. It says service. I really should say annual maintenance. That's for any of the upgrades, any downtime, any enhancements, any program writing, making sure that the system works. And we pay that now anyway. You're paying about $37,000 a year just for the old AS400. So it's going up about $5,000 going forward for the new service contract.
So what are they serving though? If we're on the cloud, we don't have a server.
They still have to maintain the software. They still have to maintain all the software.
$43,000? Holy crap.
You're paying $37,000 now. You've been paying $37,000 for 7 years now.
So what did we have in like last year's budget that was actually to keep the AS400 going?
$37,874.
Hardware or software or both?
Both.
Okay. So now we're still going to have the software, but we won't have that same hardware, correct?
Correct.
So, but it still goes up 6,000?
Yep.
Okay. That's hard to understand for me.
No. The option is $125,000 for the upgrade, and Munis' service is about the same number, about 36, 37. And that's cloud-based too.
Could we see a breakdown of what that $43,000, what it is?
I'll give you a breakdown of what you've paid for the last 3 years and the 37, and then I'll give you the escalation for the 43, so you have both.
Right. Given if we go to the cloud.
Well, yeah, we have to get off the AS400.
I don't dispute that. I would just hope that if we go to the cloud, there would be some service savings somewhere, because now we don't have the AS400, which, like you said, is old and probably requires checking and switching here and there.
We just stopped using tapes about 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
And God forbid we went home on Friday and forgot to put the tape in.
Wow.
We're on the cutting edge, Judy.
You are. Is it like a round tape?
It's like a VHS that I used to watch, like, oh, you know, Times of Ridgemont High or right. something. I'll get your breakdown. Absolutely.
Okay. And is this now between computer consulting 27, and then we've got some maintenance 5 and 43. So that whole, I understand the upgrade, new equipment, I got it. But all that other adds up to what? $75,000. So that whole package, it would be nice to see kind of how that breaks down.
Sure, absolutely. We'll get you a breakdown of the upgrade and the annual service.
Now, it seems like we could do better.
I'll tell you, with AS400, you're not going to do better.
No, not the AS400, but I mean, if we go up to the cloud, but since we're going to have the same software, that's what's keeping it kind of high.
Well, it's new software. It's new. That's the thing. We get new software. We get upgraded modules. We get enhancements. So I'll get you the breakdown. One thing that we are looking at is Walter, myself, Drew, is we have Flagship right now as the consultants, and we might kick the tire in that line item at $27,000. But we have to take some forward steps on it. We're going to do an assessment of whether or not we want to keep what we have, improve what we have, or negotiate some prices on that line item.
But have they done a good job?
We're going to kick the tire.
Okay.
The whole thing is for, like, if you have a problem and you call that, would that be
correct? Correct. Because we have no IT people, we have nothing, you know.
All right.
And like I said, we just put VPN in, and it's not going as smooth as we want. It's good access, but Maria, Meg, me, Walt, we get kicked off all the time. So there's just time spent on how do you fix that, you know. We have old servers. We have Windows 10 on. We have Windows 7 on. We've got to get caught up, Carlo. And unfortunately, that's an investment. But it's just, we're behind. We are way behind. Windows 7, I mean, someone bought a mouse and they couldn't even recognize the mouse. So they had to put a driver in to get.
We went from a Model T to a Tesla. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I think we're trying to go to a Buick though, Brian. We're not even at Tesla, you know? I mean, literally, someone bought a mouse the other day and he had to go get drivers so his computer could recognize a new mouse. It was crazy.
The 27 is a yearly contract, or it's just an hourly rate, and that's just what we break down the hourly.
It's kind of a breakdown of average what we use them for in dollars. And if you see, we went down a little this year, but unfortunately, Corona had a hit because we went to VPN. We did some IT expenses, but that's getting covered by the $43,000 we put in. So this would have been higher if we didn't have that Corona line item. So it's a unique year because we really called them a lot when we were doing remote. So I don't want, that skews the number, Carlos. So because that's being paid in Corona, I didn't add it to the 1920 because it would artificially skew the average for the 5 years.
Okay, sounds good.
So will the 25,000 then and the new upgrades and equipment, will that do us for a while then?
No, remember, thank you for reminding me that. Remember I said that number might go up?
Yeah.
What we're pricing out now is getting Windows 10, at least on the principal machines. So you may see an increase in there, about $5,000 or $6,000. We're trying to see what other software and hardware we need to start July 1 with. So I think you might see it, the conversion, and then you might see some other expenses for some software upgrades that we have to do.
Okay. But then that should do us for a while, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So that is what I have for the drivers. That's what we have for the drivers. What we could do is if anyone wants any of these departments in, we could bring them in for Tuesday. We'll already bring an anchor in and Ed Armino, so he could do public works. And Anchor could do the stormwater. Walt and I will revisit the bonded indebtedness. which I gave you a tab, but just so you get a breakdown of the debt. We will have to Judy an updated report summary in Excel. We're going to take this, convert to Excel for Judy to use, and we just will be adding workers' comp. And for medical, Judy, if we, I just want to make sure I'm on the same page as the board. When Larry proposed the medical number, that was a straight up medical with no additional money to go towards the reserve account.
Correct.
I thought we were going to leave that number flat until we get a little further in the budget process before we either decide to add, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 or not. So I'm going to leave my budget report I gave you, Judy, with the 5999 number in it, add the dental, and then we'll stop until we get to the tail end of the process. Is that kind of where we agreed?
Yeah, and what is our reserve now?
Well, we have May and June's claims. We won't know because remember, you got to pay July, August, September. But the reserve now is probably about $200,000. But we tend to get whacked with claims at the end of the year because people start going to the doctors in June. And if you remember, what artificially skews the numbers is doctors have been closed for 8 weeks, other than Corona. But any dentists are closed, so our dentist bills are low because we're self-insured. Elective surgeries have not happened. Short of emergencies, doctors aren't seeing people like they used to. So we've had 2 months of claims that are artificially low. Now, let's say they open up June 5th. They're going to skyrocket in June, you know?
Okay.
So I can't predict that. Like just even dentists. Think about dentists. How many people, no cleanings, no root canal, no fillings or anything. They open, people are going to start lining up to get in there. So I don't know what that means for me. What's the cost going to do? It's a guess.
So what I would like to happen Tuesday is, like you said, you'll get many numbers that are changed. So I'll get a new summary, a new budget, so to speak, right? Up to date. Then send that out. How do we want to do that?
I'm going to send this as a PDF to everybody.
Okay. Everybody work that works for everybody. I don't think it works for Jim. Who needs a hard copy? They just can't work with the PDF. Anybody?
I'm sorry, but I kind of would like a hard copy if you don't mind.
You're just a troublemaker, Chris. I think that's what you are.
No, I'm with Chris.
Rose wants a hard copy. Okay. So how hard is it to do hard copies? Although we talked to Keith about this before. If we give you a hard copy, then that's it. And if we make changes further on, you just have to change your hard copy. Is that a deal?
Very much understood.
So would that be doable, like, maybe by Monday, Keith?
Yeah, no,
okay. And would they have to come pick them up, or can we deliver, or what? Okay, you'll deliver Monday?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so Monday you guys will get a fresh budget, and Keith will have given me any changes by then. And so I would like to Tuesday, and obviously I have Ed and the anchor guys, and then the other people that are available to talk about any of the stuff that we've talked about tonight. And then I just want to start going down like we always do. Let's just look at the budget. Let's start down from the top and let's start looking, flagging stuff that we have any more questions about. Or it's just kind of our first walkthrough then, okay?
Judy, if you could, on that spreadsheet that we get, could we include the percent used as of current?
I already asked Keith and he said he could do that for next week, right, Keith?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two reports, Carlo. One will have the percent expended, and one will be the report like I just gave you. Because the one I just gave you, we'll use, because it has the department totals, and then it has the both, three boat versions. It'll be the same data, but I'll run them in two separate reports.
Perfect, thank you. Because I think that's where we get a lot of our cuts, where we say, oh, this person only used
20%. Why haven't they used that? Yeah, right. That's always a big indicator.
Now, it's funny you say that, Carlo, because two department heads called me and told me to make sure I told Carlo specifically that they haven't been spending money like they normally do because of Corona. So it's kind of interesting. We spend more money because of Corona, except when you ask, what do we spend? Now we're not spending enough because of Corona. So that's called a double step.
Wow. They got your number now, Carlo.
They two would have actually named you. That was kind of funny. They said, Carlo has, I didn't spend it because I didn't have,
Carlo the Red, he's coming. Okay. So, all right. So next Tuesday, 6 o'clock, we'll get you a budget, a written budget delivered to you on Monday. It will include the, in some form or on the additional budget, it will include the percentage used so far. And that'll be percentage used through towards the end of May. Pretty, will that be pretty current?
I think we're up through May. I think it's actually going to be the first week in May.
Okay, well, that's close enough.
We'll try and pump some out this weekend.
That's better than we usually do. We usually have it through March because I usually start the spreadsheet back in March, so it'll be actually better. And then I have a very special request for you, Keith, and I know this is a hard request, and it makes everyone very nervous, but could we next week get kind of a rough idea what's in our general fund?
Well, you have a general fund with a fund balance you can't touch. You know, whether it's irrelevant because we made a promise for that 3-year replenishment and we can't touch that. So
no, I'm not touching it. I just want to know that.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
That how our agreement's moving on.
Yeah. We were waiting on the sale of EJ Road, waiting on a couple other things, but we can sell Barbara, so yeah, we'll update it.
Okay.
But I get squirrely at that because we can't touch that to artificially offset any budget issues.
Okay. You know, we would never touch anything we're not supposed to because we're just good people.
I know.
Okay.
I, what concerns me is, and this is why, you know, some people say, you know, how are we doing overall? Is if you look at the TD Bank lease and you look at the FD 2019, mm-hmm. we really should have had it in this year's budget. So it's a hard hit next year and there's no savings. So
I know. It's not looking good.
No.
It's looking like mills. Mills will be added, it looks like, right now, because I'm not seeing anywhere we can run and hide.
And no savings from the utilities does not help us. You know, no reduction in utilities means we're taking that hit right on the bottom line.
We should have saved some electricity and stuff because they haven't been that well. Maybe all the lights are on. I don't know. But okay, any questions or requests from the board of anybody else you want to see show up Tuesday or about what's going to happen or anything at all? Anybody?
Hey, Judy, it's Ray. Do you have, I know they provided last year, do you have the 219 tax return for storms?
No. Would you like to see that? Yeah, because they're asking for their 100 again. It's kind of like a little dance now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be something if we could ask the storms to please provide the same that we ask for every year. They're more current.
I can tell you what they're going to ask for. We need a new rescue, which is pretty important. Goes to all our highway calls, extrications, things like that. I believe our rescue goes back to the early 90s. And that's probably, since fires are down, that's probably one of the most influential things to provide public safety. So I can definitely get some more information for you by the next board meeting, and we can go through more thorough purchasing for big line items like that. But they should definitely have more information for that.
Right. And we don't question at all how much the storms do or how much they deserve. It's just it's merely an accounting thing. You know, we've seen certain reserves, we've seen certain asks, so every year we have to knuckle down and kind of go through the accounting part of it, okay?
Hi, Judy, it's Brian. I'm on here now.
Okay.
So I can work on getting you those tax return documents for next Tuesday. And with Brian's point with the rescue, that's going to be something we're going to be discussing in Capitol again this year. So,
okay, perfect.
But I can work on getting you that stuff for next week.
What do you want to see, Ray? Because Ray's kind of our
No, just if your 219 tax forms are done and filed, just a copy. That's all I'm asking for. And another, so when you say rescue, I'm not exactly sure. Is that when you say rescue, you mean a rescue truck or vehicle?
Yes, our larger technical rescue vehicle. It's well past its replacement date, and we've been working to get it through capital the past number of years. So that's the avenue we've been going about it.
Okay.
But that's a capital plan item.
Yeah, but I'm not familiar, so I don't know if it was a communication system or whatever. So thank you.
But the tax return document is filed, so I can definitely get you a copy of that.
Thank you.
All right, anything else, anybody? Okay, I will, what time is it? We are adjourning the meeting then at 7:38. Thank you very much for all your input and participation, and we will see you next Tuesday. As always, if you have any questions or anything, feel free to give me a call.